hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's kick off in Ethiopia's capital, Addis Ababa, where the Confederation of African Football, CAF, is getting ready to hold what's being described as its most important presidential election in almost three decades. In Thursday's election, the incumbent Issa Hayatou from Cameroon is running against Ahmad from Madagascar. The 70-year-old Hayatou took power in 1988, and this might be his most serious challenge yet. The 57-year-old Ahmad has the support of the 14-member Council of Southern Africa Football Associations, COSAFA, as well as several other African countries. He'll need more votes, though, to unseat Hayatou, with 54 countries in CAF, a candidate who polls 28 votes, automatically becomes winner of the election. More African football news. African champion Zambia has a tough opening match at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup in South Korea in May. The junior Chipolopolo will play two-time Under-20 world champion Portugal on May 21st in Jeju. Zambia has been drawn in Group C along with Iran and Costa Rica. Guinea, Senegal, and South Africa will also represent Africa at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup. And after Wednesday's draw in South Korea, it looks like Guinea might be in the toughest group, Group A, which also has England, host South Korea, and six-time Under-20 World Champion Argentina. South Africa is in Group D, along with Japan, Italy, and Uruguay, and Senegal is in Group F, along with the United States, Ecuador, and Saudi Arabia. The 2014 FIFA Under-20 World Cup will be played in South Korea from May 20th to June 11th. Host Zambia won the African Under-20 title on Sunday when it beat Senegal 2-0 in the final in Lusaka. Following that trophy and a successful staging of the tournament, Zambia's president, Edgar Lungu, says his country will bid to host the 2025 Africa Cup of Nations tournament. Meanwhile, the Football Association of Malawi, or FAM, says it's pulling out of the 2018 African Nations Championship and the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations competitions because of lack of funds. The announcement comes after the Malawi government turned down FAM's request to employ a foreign coach and to provide funds for the national football team to prepare for the two international tournaments. Lamech Masina reports from Malawi's commercial capital, Blantyre.
The Malawi government rejected the football governing body's proposals soon after Parliament's mid-term budget review cited a reduced allocation to the Ministry of Sports from $3 million to $1 million. Henry Musa, the Minister of Sports, told VOA the government cannot afford to pay the foreign coach.
They are looking for government to sponsor the hiring of an expatriate coach who will be costing the government something like 10 million kwacha every month for the next 3 years. So we're simply saying, no, currently let's continue with our professional coaches we do have.
But FAM officials said in a statement They expected the expatriate coach to drill the current crop of players to international levels for a better team performance. They also said the expatriate coach would mentor the local coaches so that they can take over the team at the end of his contract. Charles Nyirenda is the sports analyst and former general secretary of the Football Association of Malawi. He told VOA that the foreign coaches have never changed anything about Malawi's football.
We had several foreign coaches here who are flop. Malawi, the best ever result at continental level, was a bronze medal in All Africa Games 1987. At that time, it was Matthew Mwenda who got us to that level, and we have never performed that good ever since.
Nyirenda says to withdraw from the continental games would cost Malawi a fine from the Confederation of African Football, or CAF.
You can't come in and then go out. They fine you, and they also put a period of, I think, 2 to 3 years suspension. You cannot even join, which means that is lost time in terms of development of the game. And the rest of Africa and the world will laugh at us.
But a local freelance sports journalist, Patrick Lunda, said the withdrawal is the only right thing FAM could have done to make government authorities hear its voice.
It's a good move because this competition, it's quite costly. It's so involving. They need to travel, they need allowances, preparations. If they're not sure of funding from the government, what's the point of participating?
Sports Minister Musa says government has yet to make its final position on the matter.
Look, the withdrawal is not due yet. It's only at the end of March. The other one is sometime in April. As a parent ministry, I have requested for a second round of discussions, and that is being earmarked for Friday this week.
FAM's president and the general secretary were reported outside the country. Its vice president, James Mwenda, told VOA he cannot comment on anything unless delegated.
I'm not mandated to speak. It's the president and the general secretary who are supposed to. So I'm supposed to be delegated by my boss if he wants me to speak.
Malawians hope government will reconsider its decision and meet the FAM's request for the betterment of football in the country. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blanta.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. This evening, I have the pleasure of introducing a vibrant octogenarian American athlete who last year published a book titled Determined, Dedicated, Disciplined to Be Fit. In fact, that's her personal mantra, as she tells us now.
My mantra is determined, dedicated, disciplined to be fit. And those three D's can fit with just about anything that you're doing. Hi, I am Ernestine Shepherd. I am 80 years of age, and I am the oldest female competitive bodybuilder in the world. My goal for the Guinness Book of World Records was a dream that my sister had. She wanted us to be in the Guinness Book of World Records. I am motivated every day because I made a promise to my sister 24 years ago that I would keep her dream alive. And that was to actually try to help to motivate and inspire other seniors to live a healthy, happy, positive, confident lifestyle by exercise. I always say that age is nothing but a number, and it is true. Most people think that after they become a certain age, that they shouldn't do this and they shouldn't do that. Don't worry about age. Get out there and move. That's the important thing. Keep that body in motion. I teach from 20 on up to 86. And that is really something. 20 to 86. And the younger girls don't show any envy. They don't show anything like that. They love me. I love them. And I learn from them, too. And the ladies that are 86, they are thrilled to be able to be in the room to do the things that they're doing. It's not enough room in there to have everyone. You have to turn them away. Wonderful to receive letters, cards, gifts from all over the world. Just to know that I'm helping others, it means a lot. And I didn't know that people really love me like they say. I have always wanted to meet Oprah in person, to be able to touch her hands. I have never done that. We've interviewed by Skype. I would also like the opportunity to meet Michelle Obama. And I would like to meet Sylvester Stallone and one other person, Tyler Perry. And I would just like to tell them that they have inspired me to do some of the things that I am doing. I would like to say I am Ernestine Shepherd, the oldest female competitive bodybuilder in the world. And I want all of you to know from the bottom of my heart that I love, love, love you. Mwah.
Yes.
That's the late, great Prince with his 1986 hit, Kiss. Now let's go to Southern California, where Rafael Nadal, Roger Federer, and defending champion Novak Djokovic are all through to the round of 16 at the BNP Paribas Tennis Tournament in Indian Wells. Joining them are Americans Jack Sock and Donald Young. No relation to yours truly. Sock will next play the Tunisian Malek Jaziri, and he knows the North African player poses a challenge.
You know, you're not on point that day. You know, I think anything can happen on tour now. I think all the guys are kind of noticing that now as well. And so, you know, same goes for tomorrow. You know, on paper, yeah, you know, I may be ranked higher and, you know, supposed to be maybe a better player in whatever sense, but if I don't, you know, come out and play, you know, great tennis and play my A game, then I won't be playing the next day.
Meanwhile, Donald Young advanced to the round of 16 by upsetting 14th-seeded Frenchman Luca Puy in three sets, 6-4, 1-6, and 6-3. The 27-year-old Young says he's playing his most consistent tennis since 2011.
It's exciting, you know, to come through and be playing consistent, you know, at least for the start of the year, and just to beat, you know, back-to-back quality opponents. So to, you know, and then at the end to fight through quite a bit of nerves, that's always great as well. It, you know, you got to keep putting yourself in those positions, and when you come through them, it gives you even more confidence.
In his round of 16 match at Indian Wells, Donald Young will play the fourth-seeded Japanese Kei Nishikori.
Kei, you know, he's great player. He's been playing well for a very long time, and we grew up together. So, yeah, hopefully I can go out there and play well and keep doing the right things and putting myself in the right position and playing the way I want to play and see what happens. I, you know, want to go out there and win. Every time you go out there, you want to get the W. So that's the goal, and that's what I'm going to try to do.
That's American tennis player Donald Young speaking in Indian Wells, California. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
After that Indian Wells tennis, will you be serving and volleying any this evening, Andrew?
I am serving up some more tennis news your way, Sonny. As we talked about last week, the so-called quarter of death at the BNP Paribas Open, featuring potentially in the third and fourth rounds, Djokovic, Federer, Nadal, all these big players, shaping up quite nicely. You're going to have Novak Djokovic facing the hotshot 15 seed, Nick Kyrgios of Australia, only 21 years old. People say that if he puts his mind to it, he could be world number one someday. Kyrgios just beat Djokovic last month at a tournament in Mexico. So that's going to be a big matchup. But the big matchup, the big, big matchup in this quarter of death that everybody was hoping for, and they're going to get it, and all eyes will be on Indian Wells tonight. Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal, their 36th meeting in a tennis tournament. Again, the match everybody was hoping for, lots of excitement from the fans on social media. They're saying they're already eagerly awaiting for this, in for a treat. The legendary rivalry continues. Now, a little bit of trivia for you. Of the 35 times that they played, who has more wins, Federer or Nadal?
I'm gonna go with Rafa. I'll take a guess. I'll go with Rafa over Roger.
And you are right. It is indeed Rafa. And a lot of people are surprised by this. Rafa actually leads 23-12. He actually has almost double the wins of Roger Federer in their matchup, which is surprising to a lot of people, thinking Roger Federer, you know, the greatest of all time, 18 Grand Slam wins, most recently beating Rafa in Australia. But a lot of those clay court tournaments, Rafa just bests him and does quite well.
Kind of disappointing in a way, Andrew, that they're meeting in the round of 16. Not even, I mean, this could be a final for all practical purposes.
Yeah, as it was in Australia at the Australian Open. It's, you know, one of the criticisms about this tournament and this quarter of death has been the seeding, and it's more of a criticism of just where the players are. That the tournament directors, to a certain extent, their hands are tied. They have to seed players certain places in the tournament. And because Federer and Nadal have been out with injuries, because Djokovic has fallen out of the number one spot, he's number two in the world now, they all ended up on the same half of the draw. And not just the same half, but the same quarter.
What else is trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, Federer is going to get ready for a big, exciting matchup with Rafa Nadal tonight. But in anticipation of that matchup, he faced a different kind of challenge, a press conference. Of course, the players have to go and do press before their matches, after their matches. This one is a little different, however. Federer didn't face off with reporters. He faced off with about 50 second-grade students from an elementary school down the road from the tournament. This is a partnership with Facebook Sport Page, where they brought Federer in to meet these students. And the students, I gotta say, did him some pretty good questions. Some interesting, you know, not the usual ones you might hear in a press conference. But Federer had some great answers. For example, they asked him, what is your best move? And Federer's response was, on the dance floor or the tennis court? Okay. They asked him what he had for breakfast, and Federer says he usually has the leftovers of whatever his kids leave behind. He has two sets of twins, so whatever they don't eat, he eats. And he actually does, at the end of the video, a group of push-ups with the kids. When asked about his strength, he gets down on the floor with them. They all do 10 push-ups together. So a lot of fun moments in this viral video on Facebook. But one moment of note, they do ask him how long he wants to keep playing tennis. And Roger says if he could play for another 5 years until he's 40, that would be a dream.
Wow.
So giving some indication, even though it's a lighthearted video, giving some indication that this storied career is potentially eventually coming to a close, hoping that he can stay on for 5 years, but acknowledging that it may be less than that.
That would be fairly incredible if he was to stick around for five more years, Andrew.
Yeah, and at the rate he's going, I can't anticipate that he's retiring anytime soon, having just won Australia. But we'll see how long he can go. Certainly the fans are hoping that he'll continue for 5+ years and go as long as he can.
Well, any predictions ahead of this latest renewal of the Rafa Federer rivalry?
You know, it's going to be tough. It's a hard court, which I think favors Federer. Rafa is back in form, so he says, after some lingering injuries. It's going to be a good match either way, and one I'll be eagerly watching.
We have about a minute left in the program, Andrew. What else is trending out there?
Well, from the hot desert of Indian Wells, we go to the brutal cold in New York. Of course, they got a lot of snow yesterday, so a lot of people stepping out in their winter weather gear, including New York Knicks player Carmelo Anthony, who showed up to the game last night wearing a fur hat and a fur coat, and the internet and social media were just ruthless. Somebody said it looked like Melo got hacked by the Russians. Other people are photoshopping into scenes from Game of Thrones. But he is getting some praise, people saying that that outfit makes him a New York legend. However, some criticism, too. They say he needs to be shooting three-pointers instead of shooting whatever animal he used to make the coat. A little dig on Melo there in New York, but it was an impressive outfit, and it looked really warm was the most important thing. And a day like yesterday, it was so cold in New York, you really did need to dress warm, and he did just that.
It's cold here in Washington, too, Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
So
I've got my park on, too. Not quite as fancy as Melo's.
The VOA's Andrew Palcheski. Thank you, Andrew. And that wraps up the March 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is working with its partner, Rwanda, to help children read. On February 16th, the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, held a launch event at Group Scolaire Kinyinya to highlight the U.S. government's early grade reading project, which aims to improve the Kinyarwanda reading skills of 1 million children over the next 4 years. The Early Grade Reading Project is implemented in partnership with the Ministry of Education and the Rwanda Education Board, and it consists of three activities that are valued at over 68 billion Rwandan francs, or about 80 million U.S. dollars. The U.S. government's partnership to support Kinyarwanda literacy is built upon evidence that literacy in the first language that students speak and understand is foundational for their success in school. The early grade reading project's three complementary activities are the Mureke Dusam Let's Read activity engages parents, communities, and literacy champions to help children embrace a culture of reading outside of school. Mureke Dusam is implemented by Save the Children in collaboration with the Rwandan Education Board. The Soma Umenye Read and Know activity will train teachers and provide extra reading materials to schools. It will also strengthen the capacity of the Rwanda Education Board and advocate for policies that support reading, and the Teacher Mentorship Community of Practice program implemented by FHI 360, U.S.-based Public Health and International Development NGO, has developed an online platform for teachers to access teaching materials and forums and to take teaching certification courses online. U.S. Ambassador to Rwanda, Erica Barks-Ruggles, highlighted the importance of partnership with the Ministry of Education and civil society. Also on hand for the launch were Rwanda's Minister of State, in charge of primary and secondary education, and the Director General of the Rwanda Education Board. The three worked with parents from Gikumbi District to create homemade reading materials for children. Our partnership with the government of Rwanda, teachers, community leaders, and parents is key to achieving Rwanda's literacy goals as set out in Vision 2020, said Ambassador Barks-Ruggles. We are working with all our partners to support children's reading ability so that every child has the opportunity to succeed and help build Rwanda's future.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we look at Ghana, 60 years after becoming the first black African country to gain independence. The 1957 precedent inspired other nations to seek their sovereignty, and 17 African countries gained independence in 1960. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.
What's up, Africa? It's Jackson Vunganyi.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Cape Town.
Can I be up front with you? That's exactly what Nadia and I plan to do every Wednesday at 1730 UTC. Up front looks at issues that affect you.
Since the world is moving at a faster rate, they need to have a major computer.
Interesting news.
Canadian man was sentenced for drunk driving after being pulled over in his mother's motorized wheelchair. 35-year-old man was fined and placed on probation.
And of course, music. No clouds in my stones. Entertainment, celebrities, you name it, we'll talk about it.
And of course, we love to hear from you. Send us your thoughts and comments. Our email address is upfront@voanews.com.
So don't forget to check us out every Wednesday at 1730 UTC on The Voice of America.
Yeah. Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.